2 Timothy chapter 3.
But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty.
So people will be lovers of self, lovers of money,
proud, arrogant, abusive,
disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy,
heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control,
brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit,
lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power.
Avoid such people.
For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions,
always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth.
Just as Yannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth.
Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith, but they will not get very far.
For their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men.
You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life,
my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at
Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured.
Yet from them all the Lord rescued me.
Indeed, all those desire to live in a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted.
While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived.
But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed,
knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings,
which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus.
All scripture
is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching,
for reproof,
for correction,
and for training in righteousness,
that the man of God
may be complete,
equipped for every good work.
2 Timothy chapter 3.
Hello, church. Pastor Dave here. Hey, so good to see you this morning. Thanks for joining in. And if you're new with us, we are so glad you're here. Know that there's a place for you here at East Swamp. And we are just excited about a wonderful morning together as we celebrate Palm Sunday. And how about those students? Wasn't that video great? I mean, huge thanks to all that goes involved to make that happen. I especially want to thank Dave Smith. He is just killing it behind the scenes, making all this online stuff work. And we just deeply appreciate him and the entire student ministry team. Those guys are just doing an awesome job. One of my favorite parts as a parent, one of my favorite points of the week, is seeing my kids connect into their small group leader right here from home. It's just really cool, very meaningful stuff. So as we come into Palm Sunday, we hope that you're choosing faith over fear. And I was in the Gospels this last week and came across this woman that had a daughter that was sick, and she heard Jesus was in town and she sought him out and begged him for healing. And you know, he did heal her daughter, and he wants to speak into your life too and heal you or meet you where you're at as well. But when I was thinking about that, I thought it was so cool when you think about Palm Sunday and Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And it's people like that woman and most likely that daughter, you know, that gather around and are just celebrating and rejoicing and just going crazy. You know, essentially, even the Gospels say the whole city was stirred. There was an excitement there that was something really special. And so, you know, we think of that this morning too. Just as we gather here today, I pray you're coming with a real excitement, a real joy, a real longing to meet with Jesus, because we're convinced he wants to speak into your life today. So I have a few things for you. Then we have 2 family videos coming at you. Pastor Aaron's got a message. We're going to end with rally time, testing that out. So we have a great lineup today. Our team is behind the scenes. They would love to interact with you. So comment, ask questions, interact, anything you would like. Share what God's doing in your life. We would love to hear just as we go through the morning here. If you open up a tab and go to eastswamp.org/next, that will provide key links throughout this morning that you may want to reference. The first link there is the Next Step card. If you put a name and an email on there, that'll connect you into our weekly communication that goes out. And if you click the children or student little box there, that connects you into the that age-appropriate communication as well. So if you're new with us, that is a great place to start. Again, we just hope that you can connect in and say hello that way. We would love to serve you as a family any way that we can. The coronavirus update is the second link over there. And as you know, probably know already, we'll be online right through April. And just as this keeps extending out, we're really expecting the needs to continue to rise as well. And so we actually worked, that third link over there is called Find a Neighbor. And that's a website we developed that is trying to connect people in need with people that are willing to meet those needs. And so just had an awesome team effort the last week here of developing this. We have a great team behind the scenes. So you can go on there and request help. And you can also go on there and offer to help. And then our team will try to make those connections on the back end and get you guys connected. And we're really hoping that this is a blessing to our church. And if it works with the church, hopefully even a blessing to the community and the broader community. So make sure you check that out. And if you have a need and you don't have access to internet, you can call the church office and we'll type that in there for you. Or if you're with someone, you know, you can always enter it for someone else. Just try to get that relevant information in there. The fourth link over there is for our events and registrations. And as you know, there's a lot changing with Easter plans, but it's up there if you want to click on it. And the Duna family made an awesome video. They want to make sure that you get the memo that Easter is going to be a little different this year. Let's check it out together.
Hi, everyone. We miss seeing you all so much. I want to make sure that you get the memo. Easter is going to be different this year. Normally, we're finalizing plans for the Easter egg hunt. Not going to happen. Or we'd be getting excited and making plans for family gatherings. Also a no-go. That left us Dunas feeling sad and super bored. And us Dunas don't like doing boring. We do like competitions. We, along with East Swamp Church, would like to invite you to the Brighten Your Neighborhood Easter Challenge. And listen up, there are prizes. The mission is to create an Easter-themed lawn ornament or decoration, and you need to use things already at your own house. No shopping.
Not even you, Mama. Not even you.
I had my creative kid help me with this next part. Hopefully you've got a creative kid, too. I know we've been doing spring cleaning, and you've been through your garages, basements, and closets, so I'm sure you found a lot of stuff just like this. Chrissy, no chainsaw. Nope, don't do anything dangerous.
Oh, the paintball gun? Splatter paint effect.
Yes, okay. Do be creative and innovative.
Once you are done creating, please post a picture of your family with your decoration to either Facebook or Instagram. Hashtag Easter in Quakertown. All entries must be in before noontime on April 9th. Happy Easter. Best of luck.
So fun. Thanks, Dunas, for keeping us smiling and reminding us that things are going to look a little bit different this Easter, and whether that's around the church or I even imagine in each one of our families, too. So, again, if you're over at eastswamp.org/next, and if you go to events and registrations, then you'll see all the requirements for the Brighten Your Neighborhood Easter Challenge that they just talked about. And make sure you get those pictures in there by Thursday of this week and use the hashtag Easter in Quakertown. And we'll actually highlight the winners next Sunday. That'd be Easter Sunday. So you'll hear about that then. We'll be starting our Easter services at 9:00 next Sunday. And I just encourage you to reach out to friends and family, invite them in, especially if they don't have a place to go or a place to tune in next Sunday for Easter. We just invite them to come and join you there. Maybe you want to do a Facebook Live watch party, which creates like this virtual living room with you and your friends that you have in on that. And so don't be afraid to be creative. This is the year to be creative, right? And try something new that way. We're going to be sharing the gospel. You know, the message stays the same. It's obviously about Jesus. And so we'll be trying to be clear on that, inviting people to take a step of faith, and then also inviting them to the 30-day challenge following Easter of walking with Jesus. So we pray it's just really meaningful for you and everyone that you invite in. As far as the Easter offering, too, we rolled that out there I know we have a high goal of trying to get to 18,000 to serve. 100% is going to support young families in need in our church and our community. And if you're not prepared or if you're not able to be a part of it, again, that's exactly why we're trying to do this, because we want to be prepared to serve and to bless those that will need it, especially at this time. So if you can be a part of it, we encourage you to do that. It's going to really bless young families. And we have a great example. Just lately, have a family that we just served here at the church, and they did a video to say thank you and just to share a little bit of their story. So check that out here.
Hi, we're Kat and Anthony Davis.
Hi.
We've been going to East Swamp since the middle of February. We're newlyweds. Anthony is from the Quakertown area. I'm from Michigan. And we actually moved back to Quakertown in November and found our new church home at East Swamp. Basically, over the last year and a half or so, I've gone through a lot of medical issues that have caused us to have a tremendous amount of medical debt, I suppose. And then everything kind of came to a T at the end of February when our car was taken. We had no idea who to reach out to because we don't really have a lot of family and friends here who were financially or physically capable of helping us. So I reached out to the church that same day and got a call from Pastor Dave, who connected me with some people who came over the following day. They talked to us about our finances. They gave us a huge list of resources and people to call and things to do, jobs to find. We'd really been praying for Anthony to get a better job than where he was currently, and he had literally just gotten that job right before our car was taken. And so our immediate need was we needed a vehicle so that he could get back and forth to work. And then another couple from East Swamp came alongside us, and they actually let us borrow their vehicle. And so now my husband can get back and forth to work. And this new job has been going
good,
pretty well.
Yeah.
And we just want to thank everybody who's been helping us out. We've been working on our budgeting skills, putting money away for a new vehicle. Things are crazy during this coronavirus thing, but Anthony and I are both very hopeful, and we're really grateful for the grace and the mercy that people have shown on us. And we've already started to show that to other people. So don't give up, and let's just stick together and get through these times together. Thanks. Bye.
Huge thank you, Catherine and Anthony, for sharing your story. Isn't that awesome how God is working in their life and how he's working through each one of you, our church family, as we came alongside of them? So what a blessing. They are a great picture of the young families we'd love to serve with our Easter offering. And if you're interested in participating, we just encourage you to, if you're at eastswamp.org/next, or you can go to eastswamp.org/give, and there's the giving options there. A question came up this week about using the church app, so I wanted to show that real quick. Along the bottom, there's the giving tab down there. You click on that, and you'll put in an amount. And then when you put in an amount, it'll go to the next page there where you can choose the fund, either the Easter or the general giving options there. So we wanted to make sure you were clear as to how that worked. And just to speak about the general giving, I don't know if you saw, but last week we hit our giving target, which was awesome. It was absolutely incredible. So go God, and really appreciate your generosity. 64% came from online giving, which that was up a few percentage points. And then we also had additional people mail in their money to catch up and things like that. So just thank you so much for your generosity at this time. It's a real blessing. And we want to be in a position where we can bless others, especially right now. So last two things I have. If you're over at eSwamp.org/next, there's the eSwamp Kids newsletter link. Parents, you are two clicks away from incredible resources to use right during the service here this morning or also this week. And there's new resources up there for this week for you and your family, and I hope we take advantage of those. We'll also be ending the service today, like I said, by testing rally time. Trish and her team, actually from her house, they will be presenting a mini version of rally time just to test that. So songs and Bible memory verse, and just want to, kids, you definitely want to check that out at the end and stay a part of that. Anyone's invited to be a part of that too, if they like. And then the last link back there at the eSwamp.org/next is, I wanted to make you aware of that Sunday service resource that Pastor Aaron had put in the e-bulletin. If you didn't see it there, you can download that there and print out a copy of that for this morning as well. So I think that's about it for me. Pastor Aaron's going to be coming up next with the message, and then I'll be closing us out before we transition into the rally time at the end. Again, so good to see everyone this morning, and let's just prepare now. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and pray for us here. Just pray God's blessing over the rest of our morning. So, Lord God, we thank you so much for your hand in our lives and that we can trust you, especially at this time. And I thank you for each one that is with us here today. God, may your hand of blessing and your hand of grace, just as Catherine and Anthony shared, your grace be upon us in a very real way, especially at this time. And may we be able to share that with others at this time too. God, we thank you so much for our students and our teachers as they got back into school this week for many of them. We think as well of our healthcare workers and all of our other essential workers that are serving right now. God, we just pray your hand to be upon them. And thank you so much for our leaders too. Continue to give them wisdom, whether it's on a national level or a local level. God, we lift each one up to you and trust that you will go before them and give them wisdom in the decisions that are being made. God, we give this morning to you. Thank you that we can trust you. Thank you that we can remember that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are in charge. You are in control. We can trust you even in this moment. And I pray that that stirs our hearts a little bit, and that we are even more awake right now to hear from you as we go into your word. Lord, just really speak into our hearts and encourage each one of us today. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Morning, church. Here we are again. I'm here in this big, empty worship center, and so bummed. I cannot wait to see all your faces back in this place again. And you're sitting at home, probably still in your pajamas, and that's cool. I'm not judging you for that. But this is getting old, right? And I cannot wait for us to be back together again. I want you to know, church, that we love you. And you are not alone in this. We continue to pray for you. We want to know how to pray for you better. Make sure you're reaching out to us that way. We want to be in this with you. If there's a need that you have, make sure you're reaching out to us. We want to be able to help you in this time as well. We love you guys and we miss you. I'm excited that we can do this, that we have the technology to be able to meet like this. And so we're going to make the most of it again this morning. I did think we'd do something a little bit different to start this morning. A little bit of an activity of sorts. Maybe you saw in an email or maybe through some of Missy's children's ministry stuff, there was a kind of a coloring page that I wanted every family to print out so that there is one for each of you that are watching this. And this isn't just for kids, it's for the adults too. I want everyone to have one in front of them. If you didn't print it out, that's okay. Grab a piece of paper or take a quick picture as I put up this coloring page for you. You can see it's pretty simple. It's just the outline of a body and then a key on the side with different colors that match to different feelings. This is a tool that I got to use as I was learning the practice of counseling. Okay, I was taking one of my favorite classes where we just did a lot of coloring was child and adolescent counseling. And this was a tool they gave us to help as we counsel children to let us know how the child was feeling. And not just how they were feeling, but where they were feeling it in their bodies. And I wanted us to all have the opportunity to do this. And so here's what this would look like. Okay, here's one that I've done that maybe is similar to how many of us are feeling. You can see the orange there is an indicator of nervousness or anxiousness. And sometimes when we feel anxious, we can feel that in our feet. Maybe we get jittery, or we can feel it in our hearts. And so you'd color orange on your feet or your heart. Maybe if you're feeling angry, use red for that. And sometimes when you get angry, you can feel it in your eyes or in your mouth. And I want you to mark that on the body, the emotions that you're feeling right now or that you felt throughout this week, and kind of how it has manifested itself in your body. So I want you to take a few minutes, either as you're listening here or throughout the day, and take some time to really sit down and address how you're feeling and how it's affecting your body. And I want you to use that as a discussion starter. Maybe it's when you meet with your life group virtually, or maybe as you're talking to friends, you kind of show them your picture and say, here's what I'm going through, here's what I'm feeling, and use that as a way to start a discussion. If you have kids, I want you to make sure your kids do this. And then at lunchtime or sometime this afternoon, have them pull it out. It gives you the opportunity to see how they're feeling. So often as parents, we take on this burden in times like this, and we feel lots of things, and we don't even recognize what our kids might be feeling. And so I want you to take that opportunity to walk through with them what they're feeling and how it's making their bodies feel, and use it as a way to walk your child through this really difficult time for them as well. This is a really cool tool that I need. Okay, some people are really good at expressing how they feel. I've been told that I'm not good at that. And so this is a good way for me to identify what's going on in my heart and in my mind, the emotions I'm feeling and how they're playing themselves out in my body. But just simply knowing your emotions doesn't really help. Okay, when someone goes to counseling, sometimes they need help figuring out what emotion they're feeling, but often they know what emotion they're feeling. Rather, they come to counseling because they want to know, what do I do with this emotion that I have? And I would imagine that you and I are in the same boat this morning, feeling all kinds of emotions. Some of the feelings that we have at this time in life are feelings that we maybe have never experienced before, or experiencing in new ways. And we're asking the question, okay, what do I do with these emotions? This morning, I hope to answer that question for us. And it doesn't even matter what emotion you're experiencing right now or where in your body you're experiencing it. It doesn't matter your circumstances. We're going to see that the solution will be found in one place. This one place that we can take all of our emotions and find out what it is that we need. This is where Paul's going to point us this morning as we look again to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be starting at verse 14 and going through 17 this morning. I'd love for you to pull a Bible out if you have one, or pull the scripture up on your phone there so you can see these are not Aaron's words, these are God's words that he wants to use to train us in today. Let's read along with me, 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Here's what we see from the very get-go in this passage. We see that Timothy already knew where to go with all of his emotions, even from an early age. He'd been acquainted with this idea already that God's word was truth and that it contained all that he needed for life and for godliness. Timothy was a lucky kid. If you remember back, if you had joined with us at the beginning of this series, Paul was saying at the beginning of the series that Timothy was lucky in that he had two women in his life who were very faithful to point him in the direction of God's word. He had his mom and he had his grandma. And both these two women in his life were pointing him straight to Scripture. As I was reminded of that this morning, it made me think of the many faithful moms that we have in our church family who are so faithfully pointing their kids to Jesus, even though they do it alone. For all of you moms out there that are doing this, please know that it doesn't go unseen. God sees your faithfulness and it pleases him so much. I can't imagine how hard that must be, but I want to encourage you to keep going and remember that the word of the Lord never returns empty. See, Timothy was lucky. He knew because of the training of these two godly women in his life that no matter what he was feeling or what he was experiencing, that it was God's word that would provide for him. This morning, I hope to show us the same thing. My hope is to elevate God's word in our lives, that you and I would desire it more and more today and find that all we need for life and godliness is in the word of God. I want to start to break down what Paul is saying here in this passage. First, he makes this grand statement. He says to Timothy, from an early age, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus. There's a lot packed into this sentence. The first thing I want us to see in this verse is that when Paul is writing these words, all of those sacred writings that he's talking about are the Old Testament. Okay, if you're not familiar with the Old Testament and the New Testament, you take your Bible, the first half is the Old Testament. This is all they had up to this point, and this is what Paul is referring to. He said, you've been acquainted with these words. Now, that's interesting because many pastors and many scholars and theologians have tried to downplay the importance of reading and studying the Old Testament. Some even say that they're not necessary for us to even look at, given that we have the New Testament. Now, Paul, we see here, would greatly argue that point. Not only do we find the Old Testament bringing fullness and richness to the New Testament, we also find that Paul says it can make us wise to salvation. Now, Paul isn't saying that if we simply read Scripture, we have salvation. That's not the message. Rather, he's saying it's in Scripture that we find the way to salvation, that we find the way to Jesus. Now, you're probably saying, well, we never see Jesus in the Old Testament, so how exactly does it lead to Jesus? Well, the Old Testament was constantly pointing to Jesus. Even on this Palm Sunday, okay? It's Palm Sunday, in case you've lost track of days. I know it's very difficult right now. It's Sunday, Palm Sunday. And if we were all together right now, okay, we'd be singing songs, lots of songs with the Lord Hosanna in it. We might have a few kids marching around the church here, waving leaves in the air, right? Celebrating that moment when Jesus is entering into this city, this kind of triumphal entry. And if you look back into the Old Testament, you will actually find verses that are pointing to this exact day, that exact moment when Jesus was going to enter in. In Zechariah 9:9, hundreds of years before Jesus is going to enter into that city, Zechariah writes this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Hundreds of years before, and already the Old Testament is pointing to this King Jesus. Or we'd read passages like that of Isaiah 53, written 700 years before Jesus would come down in the form of man to earth. And we read there that this king would come and he would suffer like a lamb be led to slaughter. Isaiah goes on to say in verse 10 of chapter 53, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. In other words, Isaiah is saying salvation is found in a coming king. Faith in this saving message was salvation to the people of the Old Testament. Now, Jesus has come, fulfilling it, and continues to be salvation for us. And this message, Paul says, can only be found in Scripture. Salvation comes by faith. Faith comes by believing. Believing comes by hearing the Word of God. And the hearing comes from teaching. This is why we've harped so hard for 10 weeks straight on the importance of promoting the gospel. This message of life in Jesus cannot be found anywhere but Scripture. We must be those who are promoting it to the world around us, to our children, to our spouses, to our friends, to our coworkers, who are heading towards death and an eternity apart from a good God. That's why Paul says to the Romans, hey, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how will they call on him if they haven't believed? And how are they to believe if they haven't heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. The first thing Paul tells us about Scripture is that it is what leads us to the message of salvation. John Wesley once wrote, I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach the way. He's written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me that book of God. I have it. Here it is, knowledge enough for me. If you're listening this morning and you're asking the same question as Wesley, how do I get to heaven? Look to the Bible. Look to the Bible and find the message that will make you wise to salvation that can only be found in Jesus. And if you've already found it, let's seek to be those beautiful feet that are pointing others to it. From here, Paul goes on to make some big claims about the Bible. These next few verses that we're going to look at should sound familiar if you join us regularly at East Swamp on a Sunday morning, because this is the passage that I often use to segue us into whatever passage we're studying. And it reads like this: all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All of the Bible is breathed out by God. We find here this idea of all Scripture being inspired by God. Now, the Greek word for inspired describes a ship that has a sail that is being filled with wind, and the wind filling the ship is carrying it along the sea. Paul says every Scripture is the product of the Spirit's work. He filled the writers and carried them along, producing his words. Now, even though God's word bears the mark of each writer's personality, every word is the true and sure word of God himself. Remember that next time you pick up your Bible, that you are being spoken to by the eternal, all-knowing, all-loving God of the universe. He's speaking to our hearts and our minds. Be blown away by such condescending mercy and grace. I like that many translations use the word breathed out by God, because when we hear breathed out, it should make us start to connect to other places in Scripture where we see God breathe something out. every time he breathes in Scripture, creativity and life are brought to the forefront. He breathes into the nostrils of Adam, and life is born. He breathes out, and the stars are born. The Milky Way is born. The giraffe is born, and the hummingbird is created, and the mountains are formed, and the ocean is put in its place. And two, God breathed the very Bible that you and I hold in our hands. How incredible is that? That he continues to breathe life into us through it. Paul goes on to say that what we find in Scripture is all that we need to be complete for every good work. First, he says it's profitable. It's profitable in a number of ways. First, it's profitable for teaching. In other words, the Bible should be our teacher. Now, right now, there is a little bit of confusion in my home, and I would imagine yours and many homes around the world, as to who the teacher is in our children's lives. Right? A few weeks ago, there would have been no confusion over who their teacher was, but we're in different times. Like, is my teacher at school my teacher? Is my mom my teacher? My dad my teacher? Who knows who the teacher is? Right? As we've all been forced into this quarantine schooling of our children. I'll tell you what, if my wife and I get reprimanded one more time for not knowing seventh grade math, someone's going to find out what it looks like to receive detention in quarantine schooling. Paul has made it very clear to this point that there can be no confusion over who our teacher is. Paul's saying here that Scripture should be what forms our doctrine or our set of beliefs. Doctrine structures our thinking and so determines what and how we believe, which is reflected in how we behave. Some of us may be behaving a certain way right now in the midst of confusion and suffering because we weren't grounded in Scripture when this hit us. Rather, our teacher was someone or something else. Sound doctrine is mandatory in order to structure sound thinking and wise living. If you're not thinking correctly, you cannot live correctly. The Bible must be our source of knowledge. God's word must be our teacher. I've been thinking quite a bit about this idea of teachers and teaching given our circumstances. I have many friends, people I know who are teachers who have been kind of thrust into this new way of instructing students. And I've heard it's been a little bit frustrating because now they're on this online platform. And so instead of seeing their students every day like they would for a set amount of time, they have a time online where students might pop in and the time is condensed as to how they can instruct their students, much less time, much less face-to-face time with student to teacher. And I would imagine as there is less time than there once was, right, this is going to greatly impact children's ability to learn. Now, if God's word is our teacher, we need to ask, how much time are we spending with it? And if it's not enough, how is that affecting how we're living and learning and becoming complete like we've been called to, as Paul says here? I was challenged by this the other night. I had kind of this moral dilemma as I was heading up to bed. There's this show that I really wanted to see the conclusion of. But as I was getting ready to turn it on, I kind of had like this conviction in me that I hadn't spent enough time in God's word. And so I stopped with the show and I pulled my phone out and I flipped open my favorite Bible devotional, really short. If you want to look it up, it's called Solid Joys by John Piper. You can look it up in your app store later. And I kid you not, I read these exact words. The problem is that most professing Christians are spending 10 minutes reading Scripture and then half of their day making money and the other half loving and repairing what they spend it on. Now, we're going to talk about Scripture rebuking us in a second. That right there was me experiencing it. Do you have questions about who your teacher is in life? Look to where you spend the most time, and I'm sure it will be revealed to you. Speaking of rebuking, that's where Paul goes next. He says that Scripture is profitable also for reproof and correction. Reproof might not be a word that we're too familiar with, so let me walk through reproof and correction, what that looks like. What Paul is saying here is that Scripture, it tells us what is not right in our world, what is not right in us. That's the reproof, as well as correction, how to get right. Okay, so I kind of liken this to, imagine the other day I was hiking at Haycock Mountain. I jumped down off a rock and something happened in my leg, okay? Imagine it was worse than it really was. And I thought, oh, there might be, I might have broken my leg. And so I go to the doctor. I walk in there and the doctor comes back and he says, we're going to give you an x-ray to see what's going on in there. The x-ray comes back and it shows, sure enough, the bone in your leg is broken. I want us to think of reproof, when we read it here in 2 Timothy, as the x-ray. Reproof is the x-ray to our hearts and our minds. Scripture is going to point out for us the things that are off in us, the things that are broken. Correction, then, literally means to straighten up. The Bible serves us in this way as well. Not just a, hey, here's where you're off, here's where you're broken, but also, but here's how we can set the bone. Here's how we can get back right. Now, we have two choices when the Bible points out something that is amiss or broken in us. We can say, no, the x-rays lie. Or we can say, yeah, let's get things set back to where they belong. E. Paul Hovey once said, men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. I saw this satire news the other day advertising a new Bible with perforated pages. And the headline read, if you're reading through an epistle and the author calls you to the carpet on one of your pet sins, you just crumple that page up and toss it in the trash. Honestly, this is how a lot of us approach Scripture when we experience reproof. And just realize that when you do, what you are saying is, I'm my own God. I determine what's best. I determine what's right. And I want you to know, and I need to remind myself, that we are terrible gods. Rather, we need to be corrected by Scripture. After it exposes the breaks, after it condemns false belief and sinful conduct in us, Scripture then sets us straight and builds us up through God-breathed correction. It puts us back on our feet, so to speak, so that we can continue to walk on the path of growing in holiness. And that's where Paul immediately goes after this. He says, it's useful for training you in righteousness. As you continue to walk in the ways of Scripture, as you continue to grow in God's word so that you look more and more like Jesus each and every day in your life. Church, whatever it is that you're feeling today, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever questions you might have, look no further than God's word. I want to finish by looking at a love poem that's written in Scripture. Before you turn your Bibles to Song of Solomon and start reading that in front of your kids, I'm going to stop you. That's not the poem I'm looking at. Okay, there's a love poem actually found in the book of Psalms, and its affection is directed towards Scripture, towards the Bible. Now, this is a really interesting poem, and I would love for you to read it either today or throughout this week. I will let you know, it's a super long psalm, okay? 176 verses long, but it's really neat in how it's set up. 176 verses, but it's broken up into 22 stanzas, each stanza made of 8 verses. Now, each stanza is kind of subtitled by one of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet, which there are 22 of. Okay, so if you turn to Psalm 119 and you see that first block of scripture there, you're going to see the word Aleph over top of it, most likely, which is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And the author actually wrote those eight verses that follow all in that same letter. And then the next stanza moves on to the next letter in the alphabet and so on and so forth in alphabetical order. And as the poet's doing this, he's just gushing over what he is finding in scripture. And it culminates in verse 167 with this feeling of, I love them exceedingly. I love your word, God. I love it so much. I want you to read Psalm 119. But I want you to notice that when you do, writer Kevin DeYoung says you will have one of three responses to it. The first response is, yeah, right. Okay, it's nice that the ancient people had so much respect for God's word, but we can't take this so seriously. The Bible is inspiring in parts, but it's also antiquated. It's also indecipherable at times. And frankly, sometimes it's just incorrect. That could be one response. A second response might be, we don't have any particular problems with honoring God's word or believing it. Like on paper, you have a high view of scripture, but in practice, you find it kind of tedious and usually irrelevant. You think to yourself as you're reading it, geez, this is long and boring, and the psalmist is just saying the same thing over and over. This is the worst day in my Bible reading plan. I like Psalm 23 much better. I'm going to go back to that. Or there's a third response, and the third response, Kevin DeYoung says, is yes, yes, yes. This is what you cry out when everything in Psalm 119 rings true in your head and resonates in your heart. When you come to the realization that Scripture has all the answers to your questions and provides you with what you need. My hope is that this morning gets us on the right track to being fully, sincerely, consistently embracing that third response. For us to see that God's word is what your heart needs in this moment. And I can say that without even knowing what moment you're in. I want to just point out what I mean simply by looking at the verses that we find in Psalm 119. Are you feeling weak today? Psalm 119, verse 28. My soul melts away in sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. You feeling anxious, nervous today? Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law. Feeling hopeless? Verse 43. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. Are you feeling lost? Are you feeling confused? Verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Are you in a circumstance where you need answers for those who oppose you? Verse 42 of Psalm 119, I shall have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Are you struggling with temptation, fighting sin? Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Are you lacking wisdom? Check out verses 97 through 100. I'm going to specifically point out verse 99 here. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies, your word is my meditation. In other words, the psalmist says, whatever you're walking through this morning, whatever emotions you've colored in to represent yourself today, whatever the circumstances are, we bring them to God's word and we find what we need. This is what Paul is talking about when he says Scripture is profitable to us in that it makes us complete and equipped for all we've been called to as believers. My prayer is that in this time of uncertainty and unrest, we would fall more and more in love with God's word, which is certain and brings us rest. My prayer is that we too may join with the psalmist in saying, God, we love your word exceedingly. Let's grow in our love for God's word this week. If you've never read your Bible before, I would encourage you to jump in. What a great time to start. And if you don't have a Bible at home, the internet is a beautiful thing. You can type in the Gospel of John and start reading the Gospel of John. Check it out and pray that God would make you wise to salvation, that he would open your eyes to who Jesus is, that you would find life both now and forever in him. If you're already in the practice of reading your Bible, ramp it up. And as you do, pray as you're reading, God, what is it that you want to teach me in this passage? What is it that you want to show me is broken in me? How do you want to correct me? How are you going to train me to look more like Jesus in this? May we see God's word the way the psalmist viewed it, the way Paul viewed it. May we dive so deep into it that it shapes us into the men and women we've been called to be, complete and equipped for every good work. Church, these are crazy days, and we're feeling emotions that we probably never felt before. We're in circumstances that we've never experienced before. But we can trust that God's word is sure and unshakable. And we can trust that in it we find that because of Jesus, we can have peace in the midst of chaos, a peace that surpasses our understanding. We can have joy despite our circumstances. We can find hope in a world that seems hopeless. So, church, in these days of uncertainty, go to the certain words of God and be strengthened and be encouraged and find peace in the very words that have brought you and I life. We love you, church. We cannot wait to see you again. We pray that you have a blessed Palm Sunday, and we look forward to celebrating Easter as a family all together next week, same time, same place. Love you, church. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Pastor Aaron, for those great reminders to get into the Word this week and to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We just pray it's a real encouragement to you, church. And would love to hear from you. So maybe if there was something that really just challenged your heart or encouraged you, put it right in the comments. Our team is going to be online for a while. They would love to interact with you. We also have rally time coming up next, so we'll still be online here. Would love to just communicate and interact. Don't be afraid to do that. Ask questions, whatever. So we're just so glad that we could be with you this morning and hope it was a real blessing to you. Remember eSwamp.org/next. That has key links that were covered this morning. Maybe now's a good time to go fill out that next step card and either tell us who you are, say hello, or also share a prayer request. We would love and be honored to pray for you. As staff, we do that every week. We're still trying to do that every week with those cards that come in. So please encourage you to do that. There's that findaneighbor.org. Maybe you want to request help or offer to help. Now would be a good time to check that out as well. There's also obviously the giving links over there and also the information about Easter and all the challenges and how you can get involved in that. So don't forget to brighten your neighborhood this week. More than just smiling, maybe you want to put something out there in the yard or on the house or on the window or something like that. Make sure you share your pictures. We just can't wait to see those and interact with you. Hey, so before we head on over to rally time, I just wanted to say that I had a really cool email this week. Came from Faith Zimmerman, and she just wanted to share, she remembers back to her as a young child, and the pastor would, actually was here at East Swamp, and she remembered the pastor closing the service with a benediction from Numbers 6, and she sent that to me as an encouragement to me and my family. I asked if I could share it with you guys just to close out our service this week, And I just think it's really cool. And just thank you for that faith. And just what a blessing it is that God's word is in each of our lives. So I just pray that this is a blessing to you. It goes like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And that would certainly be our prayer too, that you experience the Lord in a very real way this week, church, and that you experience and walk in his peace and his joy even in this time. So we love you guys. We'll see you next week. Again, rally time's coming next. You're welcome to hang on as long as you want, or all the way through to the end. But we love you guys and we'll see you. Bye-bye.